It's
called Punch Drunk.
The punches weren't really necessary. Maybe
they were super necessary.
The Punch Drunk Podcast, your favorite combat sport podcast, hosted by two dudes who can't fight and know way less about fighting than they think they do. I'm your host, Lewis, and I'm joined by Adam, who's coming to you from live from inside the UFC's guts. Look at him. There he is. How you doing, mate?
Thanks, mate. Yeah, I would have preferred you didn't tell the world that. You know, we have a big listenership. Dana's probably going to find out, so that'll be nice when I head to Vegas. He's going to slap
off,
me.
You're off the clock, mate. But yeah, he might put you up there in the Power Slap event and just bang. That's how you get.
I will be attending Power Slap 3, so I'll put some content out.
I hope so. Electric. And I hope you do get pulled out of the audience as a last minute replacement.
Me and BB.
That'll be great content.
Yeah, exactly. That's all life. Content is life. Life is content.
That's it. Symbiosis.
How are you, mate?
I'm good. I'm a bit nervous. Wasn't sure if we're going to be able to record this week. As mentioned, my beautiful wife is on the precipice of giving birth, but doesn't look like our little one who wants to come along of her own accord. So yeah, tonight we're heading to the hospital and gonna begin the inducement process. So. Shit's about to get real in this house, man. It's an exciting time. It's a nerve-wracking time. Yeah, it's hard to put into words.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate considering.
As long as possible.
What's that?
I'd be avoiding you for as long as possible too. Stay away. Stay in the womb,
mate. She should be excited to come. You should see the amount of furniture that I've built for this baby. Unbelievable. Who would have thought something so small could require so much shit?
And we'll grow out of it in 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Pack it up, get it on Marketplace.
I guess we should probably talk about fighting. What do you reckon?
I mean, considering people tune in generally to hear us talk about fighting, do they though? I mean, do people actually care about our fighting takes? Is that why they tune in? I don't think it is.
I think they are well aware that we know way less about fighting than we think we do.
I mean, it's right there at the top of the episode. You can't come at us and say, guys, you don't know what you're talking about. We know we don't know what we're talking about. That's the fun of this. That is the fun of this. And certainly I had no idea what I was talking about when I was espousing Marvin Vettori to get the job done over Jared Cannonier. Turns out that Jared Cannonier has managed to take about 15 years off his life and has turned into a 21-year-old monster. And Marvin Vettori still is the orc from Lord of the Rings, just unknockoutable, a jaw made of something that we've never seen before. We talk about Tai Tuivasa having that sort of granite chin, that unknockable chin, but we've seen it cracked now. Maybe Marvin Vettori, pound for pound, has the toughest granite chin on the planet. And whatever it's made out of, we should build all military installments out of Marvin Vettori's, because shit would be indestructible. The Titanic never would have sunk if its hull was made of Marvin Vettori. It would have just bounced right off that iceberg and kept going.
And then that submarine wouldn't be stuck down there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But holy shit, man. I mean, outside of the first round, Marvin Vettori didn't look great, did he? But Jared Cannonier, what a turnaround from his truly lethargic, shitty, horrible title performance against Adesanya. And then he comes out and he sets the middleweight record for significant strikes. Now,
he literally has got people saying he should fight Izzy again. That's how
I know. Did you idiots forget what happened? Like, no, never. I'm sorry. I never want to see that man fight for a title at middleweight again as long as Israel Adesanya's on the other side. Pointless.
Yeah, you have to wait till Duplessis beats him.
I mean, what do you do with Jared Cannonier? Marvin Vittori, it's actually easy. You go, okay, fight down the rankings again, Marvin, no problem. But what do you do with Jared Cannonier?
Yeah, it's a tough one. You can't fight Rob, you can't fight Duplessis, and you can't fight Izzy. So, I don't know. Go up.
yeah. Honestly, go back to 205 because that division has got some interesting fights there for him. And he, you know, he started at heavyweight. He's come through 205. He's got the size. He's got the power. And maybe with that new output, he might be able to put a pace on some of the 205ers who can't sustain that kind of output. Because he right now, he's hit a dead end at middleweight. They're on, unless he wants to welcome Khamzat to the division, but he's still got this fight with Usman in the works. So whatever Jared Cannonier's plans are at 185 pounds, unless he's willing to take a risk against an up-and-comer, say, Bo Nickel, you know, who's fighting soon, and Bo Nickel gets it done against, is he fighting Trayshawn Gordon? Like, unless the UFC really wants to fast-track Bo Nickel, someone like that, there isn't much on the table for old Jared Cannonier, which is unfortunate because he put out a career-best performance. I do have some questions how a 39-year-old could go from, an incredibly low output, let's say, lower cardio gas tank fighter, and all of a sudden can set the record for significant strikes landed in a 5-round fight. But, you know.
Chicken and broccoli.
Right? Chicken and broccoli. Speaking of meat and broccoli, by the way, do you see the photograph of Alistair Overeem doing the rounds? That's seemingly all he's eating these days is chicken and broccoli, because he's dropped a ton of weight. Just let that man do his steroids. The world is a better place when Alistair Overeem is rocked up on steroids. Like, that's just a fact. The world is a better place. Just let the man juice in peace, all right?
You're going to be a great father. I couldn't agree more, though. He looks fucking so good when he was fighting Brock Lesnar on.
Bro, he looks like a cancer patient now. He looks like he's hiding in ill. No, he looks that skinny and thin relative. Yeah, I know. It looks like he's gone 5 championship rounds with chemotherapy and lost. Not good.
Yeah, no, he does. It does look weird, but a photo can always be a little bit misleading. I'm sure
that's your defense in life, isn't it? Every time you get caught out, you're like, no, a photo can be misleading, Your Honor. That's not me with my penis through the hole in the wall.
I promise it's 8 inches.
It was cold and the angle was not good. The light's not flattering. Oh.
Even though it's pointing up, I promise that's flaccid.
Gravity does not exist around my crotch.
Yeah, it usually looks like a juiced up ovary.
Oh,
yeah, it was a banger of a fight, though.
It was a banger of a fight night. Thank you for getting us back on track. It really was.
He just took 1,000 shots to the head, and, you know, that's always entertaining.
That is, mate. Top to bottom, actually. It started well. My guy, Modestus Bukauskas, the curse was broken. He, you know, of people I interviewed, seemingly turning around. Lucky. Yeah. Oh. I don't know.
I'm gonna give that one to Colby Covington if he's there on fight week.
Yeah. Just feed that one to him. Let him go after the light heavyweight. See how that goes for him. Yeah, I mean, that was a super close fight. I think, you know, you could argue he maybe got lucky with the decision, but both dudes landed big shots, and it was just a nice way to start the card. But one of the big talking points was the second fight, Dan Argueta against Ronnie Lawrence, because Keith Peterson, I assume you saw this, Keith Peterson made Ronnie Lawrence tap by pulling his arm, and because Ronnie was, like, keeping his arm tense, Peterson pulled his arm, and it immediately, like, sprung back, which made it look like he was tapping. And Peterson's like, you tap, that's it, you're done. Subsequently, he got turned into a no contest. What a fucking idiot Keith Peterson is. There were some horrific refereeing moments. There's worse to come, but holy shit. Keith Peterson needs to be banned for 6 months for doing crazy shit like that. I mean, it's just not okay. What was he doing?
Someone once told me that, like, no one gets away with fucking their job up more than a barber, you know? They can just fuck it up and they still get paid, and you just leave miserable. I feel
point,
like
point in case, have a look at Adam, everyone.
UFC judges and UFC refs are closing in. They're closing in fast.
Yeah, 100%. I would say, like, I would extend that to combat sports because we see the shit that they do in boxing as well. And I'm pretty sure a lot of the judges ref, you know, a lot of the judges swing both ways. They ref boxing and they ref mixed martial arts as well. There is no accountability. There is no explanation for what they do. It's insane. There is no like rating or ranking process that's seemingly transparent. It's absolutely mental. Like, I didn't watch the fight and I've been told not to watch it because it was truly terrible. But Regis Prograis fought over the weekend and you had one judge saying that he won 10 of 12 rounds. And then you have another judge saying that the other guy won seven of the 12 rounds and Prograis only won 5. How can you have one judge giving 10 rounds to one fighter and another judge who watches the same fight give 5 rounds to one fighter? And apparently two judges gave a round to Prograis. He didn't even land a punch in one of the rounds and they still managed to score it for him. But again, we see,
if you want to know,
I'd love to.
It's because under one of those judges, if you go under the desk, there's a fucking bikie member with a vice grip to their testicles. And every time they score the one that they don't like, they just twist that vice grip a little bit tighter. And it's just who's got a better pain tolerance, you know?
There has to be some external factors that influence these judges and decisions, especially in boxing. The UFC and mixed martial arts, it does just seem that there's just pure incompetence at times, but there has to be some kind of review process because these guys are getting shafted. We haven't heard anything yet. We know Dana and, you know, is prone to hand out win bonuses in situations like this where people get screwed. Let's see what happens with Dan Argueta and Ronnie Lawrence, because Argueta had a win bonus stripped away by that. But also Ronnie Lawrence lost the opportunity to you know, get the win. I would argue Argueta's hard done by more because he had that guillotine in deep and it was probably a tap was coming. So I hope he at least gets his win bonus from the UFC, or at least part of it, because, yeah, fucking Keith Peterson, man, just destroying people's careers and earnings. But speaking of referees cocking things up, Carlos Hernandez versus Dennis Bondar ended up being a technical decision because poor Bondar got knocked unconscious from the slab. The referee decided to stand by and watch him get his head elbowed through the canvas 7 times before he decided to step in. I mean, Dennis Bondar might never be the same again after that, and the referee will just walk away, no consequences. What the shit, man? What is going on out here? You're muted there, pal.
I was going to say, I've got no issue with the UFC. I think they're a great organization.
Oh, yeah. And he's in the office. The listening devices are everywhere.
I've hit my maximum slander level within the first 12 minutes. So from here on out, I'll be lying through my teeth.
But this isn't on the UFC. This is on the commission sanctioning the fight and providing the judges.
Yeah, true. Fuck them then. Honestly, just incapable, lazy pieces of dirt that just turn up because it's at the apex. They just think they can fucking dawdle through an event. Well, they all matter equally to the fighters and their fighters' careers, so you can't take this shit lightly.
There we go. What a very diplomatic answer. You can't mail it in just because it's at the apex, although seemingly some of the fight nights we've got coming up at the apex have certainly been mailed in. Holy home, cough, 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 cough. Moving on.
Mail it in. Went on the socials. You can't do that in the octagon.
What else to talk about on this card? Alessandro Costa murdered Jimmy Flick. That was a brutal, mm-hmm. brutal beatdown. Nicholas Dolby, career-defining win here against a veteran in Muslim Salikov, really mixed up everything together nicely and dominated that fight to win 30-27, 30-27, 29-28 on the judges' scorecards. Definitely career best win for him. Super impressive. Can't wait to see what's next for him. We got a knockout of the year contender. The elbows from Manuel Torres against Nicolas Motta. Oh, my goodness. The elbow was so fast that when it happened in real time, I didn't even see it was an elbow. I thought it was a straight left. And then and they showed the replay, I was like, oh my goodness. That was just monstrous. If you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor, go back and watch that knockout. Pat Sabatini did a great job. He looked really good. Armin Petrosian put the brakes on Christian Leroy Duncan's highlight reel knockout run and his hype train, and showed him that there's levels to this game. CLD needs to go away, get a bit more experience, learn from this. No doubt he'll be back. He's too athletic and too fun to not make a mark in this middleweight division. But nice work, Armin Petrosian. Showed why he's a veteran of this game. Lightweight fight, co-main event, Armin Tsarukyan against Joaquim Silva. A lot of people have taken this two different ways. They're either saying that Armin Tsarukyan basically got fraud checked, and the fact that Silva wobbled him and had him hurt means when he was such a big favorite, means that he doesn't deserve to compete with the guys at the top. Others are saying, you know, he basically dominated the fight otherwise, and the fact that he got clipped once, it happens in MMA, and he still controlled the fight thereafter. Which side of the argument or sort of, you know, outcome do you lean on, and what would you like to see Tsarukyan do next in this absolutely loaded lightweight division?
Yeah, it's a tough one, hey, because it's so loaded, but he looks really fucking good. And I think he's, obviously, I'm not saying he's ready to fight for a title, like he probably hasn't earned it yet, but I think he's definitely on the radar and one of those guys that, hey, maybe just stay fit, because you could get lucky and get a way bigger fight than you deserve if you're just ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. The names above him, he had that very, very, very close, exciting fight with Mateus Gamrot. Potentially that one could be run back. But names at the top of the division, we're going to see Poirier and Gaethje square off for a second time soon. And you'd fancy the winner of that fight to call for a title shot and put themselves right in the mix. So you have Oliveira, you have the winner of Poirier-Gaethje 2. You've obviously got Volkanovski, who's, you know, arguably got one of the best claims given how well he performed against Makhachev. But Tsarukyan went all the way with Makhachev in his UFC debut. And you know, Beneil Dariush has probably dropped off. Chandler's probably out of the equation. But Tsarukyan is not far away. Maybe one more good quality win will put him right there in the title picture. So, yeah, as you said, he needs to stay fit. He needs to be ready to weigh in as a backup if the UFC bring it. He needs to do everything he can to force the issue, because it does seem like the UFC maybe wants to slow play him a little bit, let the rest of the division work itself out, because they gave him an unranked opponent. Let's see what they do from here with Armin Tsarukyan. But it does look like everything we've seen from him means that he, you know, suggests that he's legit. He is the real deal at 155 pounds.
One other thing with him, he's probably one of the rare ones where it's better for him if Islam stays the champ, because he went the distance with him
and
had a debut. So it's like, there's a little bit of a story there, whereas nearly the rest of the roster, except Volk, they would rather someone else be the champ, because then they're all, you know, they're all kind of next in line, weirdly enough. But if there was a fresh champ, any of them could get a shot.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. He does have a strong case if Islam does remain the champion, if he's able to get through the next round of Oliveira and Volkanovski shaped challenges. Yeah, man, let's see how that goes. We talked about the main event. I think for Vettori now, just quickly on what could be next for him, he's dropped one spot to four in the rankings. Roman Dolidze has just been matched up with Nassadin Imavov for UFC Paris in September. But Brendan Allen, at number 13, is fighting. I think he's fighting this. Yeah, he's fighting this weekend. He's opening the main card on ABC in the US. Big, big spot for Brendan Allen here against Bruno Silva. And I think if he gets a convincing win, calling out Marvin Vettori for a fight at the end of the year, once Vittori's healed up, would be a great way for Allen to leapfrog into the top five. And I think that could be a really interesting matchup, because Brendan Allen is looking excellent. I just want to see how many what his streak is right now. Yeah, he's on a four fight win streak. Looked impressive, three by way of stoppage. So yeah, it would be nice to see that from Brendan Allen. I think that could be an interesting matchup. Anything else about this card? I know we've got to keep it a quick show, because you've got you got Oblos outside of the podcast. Got a dinner to get to. Anything else you want to talk about on this card, or should we fire ahead to this absolutely loaded UFC Jacksonville event? Early card for Europe. Very early card in Australia. We've got a nice early start time in the US. Of course, it is Josh Emmett taking on Ilia Topuria in the main event. And basically, If you slapped a title fight on top of this card, it would be a pay-per-view. That's how good this card is being put together. Of course, the UFC always bring it when they're going to be simulcast on ABC, mainstream, proper mainstream television in the US, and it presents a huge opportunity for some of these fighters to make a great statement, become well-known, become household mixed martial arts names with standout performances, especially on the main card, which will be aired on ABC. So let's take it from the top. Former, was Emmett the interim champion? Or did he fought for the interim belt, right?
He just fought for it.
Okay, former interim title challenger, Josh Emmett, out there in Perth against Yair Rodriguez, came up short. Ultimately, his winning run came to an end. He takes on up-and-coming Spanish. Up-and-coming.
We're stupid.
What were you horrible. Doing? Horrible. Awful. You're now safe from yourself, though. The UFC is bringing so much into your life. It's giving you employment and it's saving you from your own vices. You should be down on your knees grateful to that company every day.
Oh, I'm on my knees a lot.
He's taking on up-and-coming phenom, Ilia Topuria, representing Georgia and Spain. He is a raging bull. This man is a striking monster. He hits like a truck. He's got grappling credentials. The only time he's really been tested at all in his undefeated, unblemished career is when he went to lightweight and fought Jai Herbert at UFC London and was dropped in the first round. He struggled with Jai's length, but he came back and ended up putting on a highlight reel knockout. It's really the only time we've seen him tested. He ran through Bryce Mitchell like a knife through butter, and he's really positioned himself for a big statement and opportunity at 145-pound title shot with a statement win over Josh Emmett here. If we pull up the rankings, Emmett sits number 5. Arnold Allen came up short against Max Holloway. Yair Rodriguez is going to get found out. And Ortega's already danced his dance with Volkanovski and was found wanting. So this is it, man. Topuria, with a huge statement on ABC, can punch his ticket to a title shot with Alexander Volkanovski for the end of the year, the start of 2024. What a fight that would be. He's a massive, massive favorite on this card. Ridiculous. Like, it makes no sense to bet money on him straight up. Maybe you want to come out and try and see him get a nice first or second round stoppage, something like that, a prop bet. But Ilia Topuria, other than a 1 in a million punch from Josh Emmett, because he hits hard, he might be the hardest puncher in the division. I don't see any path for victory for Josh Emmett. I think Topuria absolutely eats him up for breakfast, unfortunately.
Who do you think wins if Topuria and Rodriguez fought?
That's a really interesting one because, as I said before, one of the things that Topuria struggled with against Herbert was his range and lengthy shots. And we know Yair likes to throw shots from distance and range. How would Topuria manage with getting inside that? That would be a great fight as well. And if the UFC doesn't make the 145 title fight next, maybe because Volk is taking another sojourn up to 155 to see what's going on there, maybe Topuria versus Rodriguez, regardless of the outcome, Volk will get an immediate rematch if Rodriguez wins. But if assuming Volk wins, like we all expect him to, and like Las Vegas, the bookmakers expect him to, Topuria versus Rodriguez to give Topuria that proper claim to a title shot would be really, really interesting as well. I'd be very interested in seeing how that fight plays out.
100%. I think Topuria is definitely the guy that's, people are saying, can also challenge Volk as well as Rodriguez. And in a weird way, he probably wants Volk to win, because if he loses to Rodriguez, you know, it's instant rematch if Volk wants it. And then, exactly, you know, Volk wins that, do they go trilogy? There's a year gone in the division if Volk loses this fight for any challenger. So he definitely wants Volk to win, but then there's that whole element. If Volk wins, and if he wins fairly comfortably, he's probably fucking not fighting at featherweight for a year anyway, because he wants to try to go for lightweight.
Yeah, exactly. So Topuria, as much as he wants Volkanovski, probably he probably does need one more fight, because if he, you know, if he puts a statement on Yair Rodriguez, you know, he'll be right back up there, you know, lobbying the UFC brass, Mick Maynard, Dana White, Sean Shelby for an opportunity at Islam Makhachev, 155-pound strap once more. But who knows, man? Like, this, stranger things have happened. It'd be shocking, but I don't think I'd, you know, we've seen crazier things happen. We've seen Shevchenko lose recently. We saw Amanda Nunes drop to Juliana Pena. Crazy things happen in combat sports, especially when one of them hits as hard as Josh Emmett. So don't entirely run him out, but I would say it's a very, very low probability of something like that happening. Let's move down the card. Amanda Ribas against Macy Barber, women's flyweight fight. That's super interesting and important in the landscape for the division. Let's pull up the rankings here at the women's flyweight rankings. I mean, Ribas is 9, Macy Barber is 11. But with shuffling and movement at the top of the division, with Alexa Grasso now the new champion, things can happen. Things can happen a little bit differently. Erin Blanchfield is talking about going up to 135 and fighting for the vacant belt, so her name might be taken out of the equation. So you just don't know. You just don't know with these women's divisions, with all of the movement going on right now. So yeah, this fight has got important implications for either of them. The winner gets launched into the top 5 conversation. The winner sits around and sort of hangs around as a gatekeeper to the top 10. What else is going on this card? David Onama versus Gabriel Santos. That should be a fun fight. Santos made his UFC debut at UFC London recently. Came up short, but put on a very good performance. And David Onama is a violent, dangerous fighter. So I think that one should be fun. Already talked about Brendan Allen, Bruno Silva. That's sort of your pick of the main card. Any names on the undercard that you wanna plug? I think there's one that you're pretty interested in.
Yeah, 2 actually. Obviously, we've got Justin Tafa fighting on the card, but then we've also got Jack Jenkins as well. Is that right?
Far Jack, that's it, baby.
Yeah, Far Jack. So just stoked that they're going to be fighting at, 2 a.m. Australia time. It's worked out great. And what a fucking great undercard for a fight night, though. If it was on at a better time, they'd probably get a lot of Aussies watching this, so it's probably a bit of a bummer on that end. But, hey. Can't have them all. I'm sure all the hardcores will be out watching those fights. And, it's just a little teaser for International Fight Week when there's 6 Aussies and Kiwis on the card. So can't wait.
Yeah, those two fights certainly stand out from a Australian-New Zealand fight fan perspective. Justin Tafa taking on Austin Lane. That fight's not going the distance, and you bet good money on Justin Tafa to get it done by knockout in the first round. Once again, you've got... Jack Jenkins taking on Jamal Emmers. Jack Jenkins is an underdog, and I'll be honest, I don't know much about Emmers. I don't think I've seen him, but I'm betting Jack Jenkins as an underdog because he looks so good in the opportunities I've seen him. But opening the event here is Vittorio Taira, the Japanese flyweight, against Clayton Rodriguez. And people are upset that he's buried right here on the preliminary card, the first fight, but they're actually doing it for time zone purposes. And it will be midnight when Taira makes the walk in his home of Japan. And we can expect a big audience tuning in to see him. Because if I recall correctly, Taira is undefeated, 23 years old. And he's an exciting prospect at the flyweight division. Just another young killer. Yeah, 13-0. Let's see how many fights he's had in UFC. I can think of 2 for sure. He's had 3. He's had 3. 3 fights in the UFC, 3 wins, 2 by way of stoppage, and he takes on 8-2 Clayton Rodriguez, which I'm really looking forward to, and just another young stud to throw into the mix at 125 pounds and what's a constantly evolving and growing flyweight division. It wouldn't be surprising to see him get on an Aussie card at some point in the future as well, given the proximity and time zone friendliness from Australia to Japan. Yeah.
I think everyone that it's convenient for is doing fucking everything they can, ringing every agent and manager they have to try and get on the Sydney card. So great for me, great for all Aussie fans, and cannot wait, man, cannot wait. But to the listeners, I'm sorry, I don't think I even have time to do the usual spiel. I'm going to have to make a run or else I'm going to get power slapped by my girlfriend.
No worries, mate. You get on out of here. We'll wrap things up.
But I do have time to say good luck with everything that goes with the birth, mate. So excited for you. Wishing the best of health to your wife and baby. And hopefully this time next week, or if it's in 2 weeks' time, we're talking to a father. Oh, that's weird. But
you can call me daddy.
Yeah, good way to end. See you, mate.
See you, mate. All right, folks. Adam is dropping off. He's saluting me. Peace. He's dropped off. We'll wrap things up here. Nice little short episode, 30 minutes. Keep it nice and tight. We appreciate everyone tuning in. You can find us on Twitter at punchdrunkpod _ at punchdrunkpod on Instagram, on YouTube, if you want to see our very, very beautiful, attractive faces and, you know, watch us in person. Come and have a look. Come and subscribe on our YouTube channel. Where else are we? You can find us on Facebook. You can follow me at Lewis Glover MMA on Twitter, at Lewis Glover _MMA on Instagram. Give us a follow there. Give us 5 stars, subscribe, come join us week after week, and enjoy the fights this weekend because they are loaded. Thanks very much for listening. Peace.